It's not just to make you tired in the daytime.
But it is the custom of the righteous people, and it's a way and a means to get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, and it prevents you from sin. It keeps you away from sin. It helps you not to sin. This Qiyam al-Layl, this standing up at night, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us in this great, magnificent hadith, that it keeps us away from sin. But we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْحَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the salah prevents a person from al-fahsha'i wal-munkar, from doing the evil things or the bad things, and likewise, indecency, fornication or drinking, the bad haram, the big haram, the major sins, that this making of salah prevents a person from doing these evil things, from staying away from the indecencies. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says specifically about the night salah, that it prevents you from sin. Each and every one of us knows that we're sinners, as we mentioned in the beginning of our lesson, when we first began the purification of the soul, tasqiyatun nufus, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كل بني آدم خطاؤون وخير الخطائين التوابون. That all of the children of Adam are sinners, and the best of sinners are those who repent. All of us may have sins, 1, 2, 3, 4 or more, that we can't seem to shake, that we can't seem to let go. We say that we're weak. Everyone makes the excuse, I'm weak, I can't let it go, as if it's over. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us in the Quran, that salah, and night salah in specific, is a way to prevent us from doing that sin. It's a way to keep us from sinning. All of us, if we know in ourselves that we have a problem with giving up something that's haram, and we should stand up at night and make salat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this qiyamul layl, this tahajjud, this standing up at night and missing sleep for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a way to prevent us from sinning. It's a way, a shield, a protection from sinning. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, and it is a means to have your bad deeds wiped away, to have your sins forgiven. That night salat is a way to have your sins forgiven. And this is the point that we are using this hadith. That the night salat will have your sins forgiven. That whoever stands up at night and makes salat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it's only one raka'ah, then it's a way, a means to have your sins forgiven. As the Prophet says in another hadith, that we should make night salat even if it's only one raka'ah. One raka'ah at night for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting a short surah such as Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, is a means for us, as the Prophet ﷺ began when he said, it's the way of the righteous, and it's a way to get closer to Allah, and it's the thing to keep you from sinning, and it's the way to have your sins forgiven. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that this night salah, and we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to one of the companions that came to him and asked him, how do I make salah at night? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, masna masna. That qiyamul layl is masna masna. That the night salah is 2 rak'ahs, and then 2 rak'ahs, and then 2 rak'ahs, and then 2 rak'ahs, and so on. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that this qiyamul layl is a means to have our sins forgiven. And as if this wasn't enough, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added, and it is that, rahmatullah, and it is that which keeps disease away from the body. And that night salat is that which keeps diseases away from the body. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us in this hadith many of the many benefits and the virtues of standing up at night in salah. And among them is to have our sins forgiven. And just to repeat the hadith from the beginning, the translation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you should make the qiyamul layl, you should make the tahajjud or the night salah, because it is the way of the righteous before you. It is the means to get closer to Allah. It is that which will keep you from sinning. It will have your sins forgiven, and it will keep disease away from your body. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to stand up at night. So we said that Ameen is a way to have your sins forgiven. And everyone just said Ameen. InshaAllah, Allah ta'ala will forgive us of our sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says that Salatul Jumu'ah is the means that making the Salatul Jumu'ah, listening to the Imam and being quiet is a means for having our sins forgiven. And then he said that the night Salat is a means for having our sins forgiven. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that standing up in Ramadan in specific is a means for having our sins forgiven. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith that is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. That whoever stands up in Ramadan with Iman and sincerity, then Allah will forgive his previous sins. This standing up in Ramadan, this qama, man qama ramadana, it has a more general meaning also, which is, as Abdul Rauf al-Manawi explains in explaining this hadith, that whoever fulfills the duty that has been made incumbent upon him in the month of Ramadan with Iman and sincerity, then he will have his previous sins forgiven. So fasting the month of Ramadan, or living up to our obligations in the month of Ramadan, is a means for having our sins forgiven. And in Ramadan, on Laylatul Qadr in specific, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith that's also collected by Al-Bukhari wa Muslim, من يقوم ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. That whoever stands up for ليلة القدر, that whoever is standing up making salat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of ليلة القدر with Iman and sincerity, then he will have all of his previous sins forgiven. So the fulfilling of our duties in the month of Ramadan is a means for having our sins forgiven, that it is an atonement for our sins. Also the Salatul Tasbih, and there's no need to go into any detail on the Salatul Tasbih, because the Imam Dawood had gave a khutbah on it recently about the details of Salatul Tasbih. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Abbas, Ya Amma, ألا أعطيك ألا أمنحك ألا أحبك ألا أفعل بك عشر خصال إذا أنت فعلت ذلك غفر الله لك ذنبك أوله وآخره قديمه وحديثه خطأه وعمده صغيره وكبيره سره وعلانيته عشر خصال. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, talking to his uncle Abbas, Ya Abbas, O my uncle, shouldn't I give you something? Shouldn't I bless you with something? Shouldn't I love you? Shouldn't I show you something? That if you did it, you will have 10 things. If you did it, the Prophet ﷺ said, and if you did it also, Allah will forgive you of your sins, the first of them and the last of them, the old of them and the new of them, the mistakes among them and those done intentionally, the small of them and the big of them, the secret of them and the open of them, all ten. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us, as he later goes on to explain how to make the salatu tasbih, that if you do this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you of your sins, the first of them and the last of them, the old of them and the new of them, those done by mistake and those done intentionally, the small of them, the big of them, the hidden of them and the open of them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of these sins, no matter which form it takes, whether it's open or hidden or big or small or new or old or first or last, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins for performing the Salatul Tasbih. Just to add, because we were questioned about this in the past, Salatul Tasbih is one of those hadiths where the ulama have taken two sides. You have a large portion of the ulama saying that this hadith is not authentic. And then you have also a large portion of ulama saying that this hadith in fact is authentic and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But if it's authentic, then it is a means to have our sins forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also tells us that making salah in Masjid al-Aqsa, and may Allah give Masjid al-Aqsa back to the Muslims,
Ameen.
That making salah in Masjid al-Aqsa is a way to have our sins forgiven. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this authentic hadith, إِنَّ سُلَيْمَانَ بْنَ دَاوُودِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمَا لَمَّا بَنَى بَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ سَأَلَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ خِلَالًا ثَلَاثًا سَأَلَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حُكْمًا يُصَادِفُ حُكْمَهُ فَأُوْتِيَهُ وَسَأَلَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ بَعْدِهِ فَأُوْتِيَهُ وَسَأَلَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حِينَ فَرَغَ مِنْ بِنَاءِ الْمَسْجِدِ أَلَّا يَأْتِيَهُ أَحَدٌ لَا يَنْهَزُهُ إِلَّا الصَّلَاةَ فِيهِ أَنْ يُخْرِجَهُ مِنْ خَطِيئَتِهِ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith, which was collected by Imam al-Nasa'i, also Ibn Majah, Imam Ahmad, Ibn Hibban and al-Hakim, and it's authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that Sulaiman ibn Dawood, salawatullahi alayhima, when he finished building Baytul Maqdis or Masjid al-Aqsa, he asked Allah for three things. He asked Allah Azza wa Jal for a kingdom, for a verdict, or the ability to make the judgment that coincides with Allah's judgment. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him correct in every verdict that he makes. And Allah gave it to him. And I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me correct in every verdict that I make. He also asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him a kingdom that it isn't befitting for anyone after him to have the likes of, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to him. And he also asked Allah Azza wa Jal, when he finished building the masjid, that whoever comes to this masjid, nothing makes him go to that masjid except to make the salah in it, that Allah will remove all of the sins that he has committed and make him as if the day he was born, the day that his mother gave birth to him, meaning completely free of sin. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, when he finished building the masjid, that whoever comes to this masjid for no other reason except to make salat in the masjid, that Allah removes all of his sins, and he is as he was the day that his mother gave birth to him, free from all sins. وَنَحْنُ نَرْجُو أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ قَدْ أَعْطَاهُ ذَلِكَ. And I'm not sure, is this statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or from one of the narrators, but it seems to be from one of the narrators. He went on to add to this hadith, because we know in the first two things, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he asked that he have a judgment or that he's able to give a verdict that coincides with the verdict of Allah, that Allah gave him that. And when he asked for the kingdom, that it isn't befitting for anyone after him to have the likes of, Allah gave it to him. But when he asked that no one should come to this masjid for no other reason except to make salat in it, that he should have his sins forgiven, and he comes out like he came out of his mother's womb, free from sin, he didn't say, and he gave him that. So the narrator, and Allah knows best who's making this statement, adding it on to that hadith, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses each and every one of us to firstly visit his house, the Kaaba in Mecca, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid in Medina, and then the Masjid al-Aqsa in Bayt al-Maqdis in Sham, for this is the way to have our sins forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me just back up for a minute. So we began, we said that the Ameen is a way to have our sins forgiven. And that the Salatul Jumu'ah is a way to have our sins forgiven. And that standing up at night is a way to have our sins forgiven. And that fulfilling our duties in the month of Ramadan, and especially on Laylatul Qadr, is a way to have our sins forgiven. And that performing the Salatul Tasbih is a way of having our sins forgiven. And making Salat in the Masjid al-Aqsa is an atonement for our sins. We go on to say that fighting jihad fi sabilillah, and jihad means killing the disbelievers for the sake of making Allah's religion upright in the land. That killing the disbelievers fi sabilillah is a means for having our sins forgiven. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ ثَوَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah, which is number 195 in Surah Al-Ali Imran, that killing the disbelievers for the sake of Allah is a way to have our sins forgiven. And as we'll see, it's also a way to get to the Jannah that Allah has stored up for the believers. And inshallah ta'ala, a part of this class, purification of the souls, we're going to cover 64 things, inshallah, mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, that whoever says them or does them enters Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, as translated, so those who emigrated, or those who made hijrah and were driven out from their homes, and suffered harm in my cause, and who fought and were killed in my cause, verily I will remit from them their evil deeds. Verily I will remit from them their evil deeds. I will forgive them of their sins. I will wipe away those bad deeds and admit them into gardens under which rivers flow in paradise. A reward from Allah, and with Allah is the best of rewards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that killing the kuffar fi sabilillah, or being killed by the kuffar fi sabilillah, is a means of having our sins forgiven, and it's also a means for entering the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on, has stored up for the believers, and Allah has the best reward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith collected by Imam Muslim, القتل في سبيل الله يكفر كل شيء إلا الدين. That killing for the sake of Allah wipes away everything except the loan. Except the deen. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that killing fi sabilillah wipes away every single thing except the loan. That the loan, that heavy, heavy loan, just won't be forgiven by killing fi sabilillah. And we know that there's almost nothing you can do that is as great as giving your life fi sabilillah, and that it will have everything wiped away except the loan. عن أبي قتادة أن رجلا قام فقال يا رسول الله إن قتلت في سبيل الله تكفر عني خطايا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم إن قتلت في سبيل الله وأنت صابر محتسب مقبل غير مدبر. ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف قلت؟ قال أرأيت إن قتلت في سبيل الله أتكفر عني خطاياي؟ فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم وأنت صابر محتسب مقبل غير مدبر إلا الدين فإن جبريل قال لي ذلك. This hadith is also collected by Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather Abi Qatada, one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, said that a man stood up and said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, if I was killed fi sabilillah, would I have all of my sins forgiven? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. If you are killed fi sabilillah and you are patient, seeking the reward of Allah, you are attacking or facing the enemy and not running away from him, then you would have your sins forgiven. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the man asked him, if I would kill fi sabilillah, would I have my sins forgiven? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. If you were killed fi sabilillah and you were patient, and you were patient, seeking the reward of Allah, being sincere, and that you were facing the enemy and not running away from him, then in that way, you will have your sins forgiven. That if we're running from the enemy, and running from the enemy is a major sin, except as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to run from the enemy as a means of strategy. Maybe they catch us off guard, we run to regroup, to fight them. That this isn't running from the enemy, but that this is a means of strategy. That you're only running back in order to prepare yourself to fight them. Not that you're punking out, or you're stepping down, running away from them. No, but that you're running as a means of strategy. Maybe your weapons were in the car. They caught you, you were on the street. So you run behind the car to get your weapons. This running away isn't the running away like the people who are running away because they're scared to fight the enemy of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ said that you have to be facing the enemy, not running away from her. That if we were fighting the enemy, then we felt that the enemy was going to win. So we said, I'm getting up out of here. Next time, you know, we'll fight. So he runs from the battlefield, and before he gets away, they killed him. Then this isn't the one that's killed fi sabilillah, the one to have his sins forgiven, but that he's the one that's facing the enemy, not running away from them. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, and what was that you said again? He said, do you see that if I was killed fi sabilillah, would I have my sins forgiven? So the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, if you were patient and sincere, seeking Allah's reward, you were facing the enemy, not running away from him, except for the deen. Except for the deen. Because Jibreel told me that. So in the beginning, the Prophet ﷺ was just telling him, yes, you have all of your sins forgiven. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, what did you say again? And when he repeated, if I got killed fi sabilillah, would I have all of my sins forgiven? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, if you were patient and sincere, seeking the reward of Allah, and you were facing the enemy, not running away, except for the deen. And indeed, Jibreel told me that. So Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ to tell him that not everything's going to be forgiven. Not just an unconditional yes. If you are killed fi sabilillah, all of your sins will be forgiven, except the loan. And may Allah remove the loans from the people who have them against themselves. And may He soften the hearts of us who have lent out whatever we have lent out, to overlook and not to hold the people accountable for paying back those loans. As for doing this, is among the good deeds of Islam. To overlook the loans that we have. When we lent someone such and such, and he's supposed to pay it back, if we see that he's having difficulty, and we overlook him, we tell him that it's okay, don't worry about it. And there's a hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he will overlook something for us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to show us that fasting is a means for having our sins forgiven. Fasting is a means for having our sins forgiven, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the famous hadith, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi." And this hadith is in al-Bukhari wa Muslim. That whoever fasts Ramadan with Iman, sincerely seeking the reward of Allah, then all of his previous sins will be forgiven. That whoever fasts Ramadan with Iman, sincerely for the pleasure of Allah, then he will have all of his previous sins forgiven. And we continue to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgive us of our sins for fasting the month of Ramadan. Amen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to show us that the siyam of Yawm Arafah wa Ashura is a means for having our sins forgiven. And fasting on the day of Arafah and the day of Ashura is a way for having our sins forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, ثَلَاثٌ مِنْ كُلِّ شَهْرٍ وَرَمَضَانُ إِلَى رَمَضَانَ فَهَذَا صِيَامُ الدَّهْرِ كُلِّهِ صِيَامُ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ وَالسَّنَةَ الَّتِي بَعْدَهُ وصيام يوم عاشوراء أحتسب على الله أن يكفر السنة التي قبله. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in this hadith
that fasting 3 days out of every month, and fasting Ramadan, from Ramadan to the next Ramadan, and that this is the fast of the dahr. Let me try that one again. Fasting 3 days a month, and Ramadan to Ramadan is the fast of eternity. That this is as whoever fasts from Ramadan to Ramadan in 3 days out of every month, it has it, he has fasted all of his life. As we have mentioned before, that each deed, each good deed, is worth 10 times itself. And if you fast the month of Ramadan, which is 30 days or 1 month, then that will be the equivalent of 10 months. And then there's 2 months left. When you have this 3 months from every day, 3 days of 3 days of every month, and each day being 10 times itself, then three days out of every month, that would be 10 times 10 times 10, is as if he fasted the whole month. So the next month will be the same thing. So this would be as if he's constantly fasting every day, because he has the reward of every day of his life. So the fasting of 3 days of every month, and Ramadan to Ramadan, is as if he has fasted all of his life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say that the fast of Arafat, seeking to please Allah, is to have the sins of the year before that fast and the year after that fast, meaning the year before that fast on Arafat and the year after that fast on Arafat, he will have the sins forgiven. But the fast on the day of Arafat is to have your sins forgiven for the year before it and for the year after it. When we read the Quran and we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we say that Allah is the merciful, or the beneficent, or the compassionate. Hadith like this should really show us the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the believers. That all we have to do is fast Ramadan, 30 days, and then 3 days out of the month, and we get the reward as if we fast, as if we are fasting every single day of our lives. To fast one day, having that day, the day of Arafah, that it is to have the sins that you committed the year before that Arafah, that fast on Arafah, and the years after that fast on Arafah, will all be forgiven. Is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala merciful to us? We should be mindful that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to us, that we should be merciful to one another. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say that the fast on the day of Ashura, seeking to please Allah, is to have the sins before that, the year before that, forgiven. When I read this Siyam Arafat and Siyam Ashura, I had doubt. Is Ashura the day after Arafat or not? Does anyone know? The Siyam of Ashura. You know I'm back from the land of the Muslims. And when you're at the land of the Muslims, you don't have to always be so mindful of remembering everything. Because when you're with the Muslims, and the Muslims are practicing Islam, you just flow with the Muslims. Here we have to remind, oh man, it's almost time for Salah. Let's go to the masjid. When we're in the land of the Muslims, and we have a Muslim community, all of the stores start closing, everybody start walking out of their jobs, out of the corporations, everybody start coming out of their houses. You see everybody walking in one direction. You just flow with the, you just go with the flow. You go to the masjid. This should be an incentive to all of us that we have to either establish Islam, to establish communities, or go wherever in Allah's earth, and Allah's earth is spacious, where Muslim communities have already been established, so we can just go with the flow. Allah knows best when the day of Ashura is. It just slipped my mind, but I think that Ashura, that's the people on Arafat.
Yeah, they're on Arafat. People, real fast. Yeah,
that's true. Ashura, anyway, is extracted from the word that means 10. This is why I was thinking it's the 10th, the day after Arafat. But I'm not sure, though. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Maybe in the next class I'll get a chance to review to find out when is Ashura, because it means 10. And Allah knows best. But we should just take a lesson from this, that it's easy to forget in the land of the kuffar. It's easy to forget your duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, whoever fasts the day of Ashura has all of his sins for the previous year forgiven. We don't even know what day Ashura is. And if we were with the Muslims, then we would know. Jazakallahu khaira, the brother memorized it. The Ashura is the 10th of Muharram. And the day before that is Yom Tasu'a. And that this is the day, I think, that the Jews were fasting when the Prophet came to Medina. So the Prophet said, we have more right to do that which Musa did. So they fasted the Yom of Ashura, and then they fasted also the day before Tasu'a. So they fasted the 9th and the 10th. So I was confusing that 9th with being the 9th day of Dhul Hijjah, which is Arafat, with the 10th. Jazakallahu khairan. So the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith is showing us that fasting on Arafat, and Arafat is coming up shortly, is to have our sins forgiven for the year before it and the year after. Who knows what sins we may commit in the coming year after Arafat? And to know that all we have to do is to fast on the day of Arafat and have all of those sins forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kareem to his servant, generous to us. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just backing up for a minute, is telling us, we try to repeat so that we can always be conscious to memorize and know those things that we can do to have our sins forgiven. The Prophet ﷺ told us that saying Ameen is an atonement for our sins. And that making the Salatul Jumu'ah, listening to the Imam and being quiet, is an atonement for our sins. And the Qiyamul Layl or the night Salat is an atonement for our sins. And you just repeat
this. I just wanted to ask as far as being quiet in Jumu'ah, does this pertain to, so like the Imam says something with the ink or long echo, I mean, doing the quick one, is this permissible? Or is this subhanAllah? Alhamdulillah. Is this permissible?
Is telling us that whoever listens and is quiet, then he will have his sins forgiven for sure. So if you don't say SubhanAllah or Allahu Akbar or whatever, then you have your sins forgiven. Yeah. And then there's another hadith that, of the Prophet ﷺ, this is the general meaning, that whoever says to his partner, be quiet, and he has lava, and he has invalidated his jumu'ah. So we know that being quiet is to tell him to do something good. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us that this is a way to invalidate your jumu'ah. No, it could be any 3 days of the month. So Salatul Jumu'ah, and the standing up at night making Salat, and the standing up in the month of Ramadan, and the Salatul Tashbih, and making Salat for the sake of Allah in the Masjid Al-Aqsa, and killing the kuffar fi sabilillah, or being killed by the kuffar fi sabilillah, and fasting the month of Ramadan, and fasting the day of Arafah and the day of Ashura, are all means for having our sins forgiven. It seems as if we're getting close to Maghrib in the time.
What is the
ayah
of the
no, Jumu'ah was just a hadith.
You gave the
that is on the people who seek forgiveness. The people who make nice salat to seek forgiveness at the break of dawn.
Okay.
I think it's number 15. So let them know that. Okay, we'll just make a note to the sisters listening that if they have any questions, that they should write them on paper, and that after Salatul Maghrib, inshallah, we will try our best to answer those questions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that Hajj and Al-Umrah is a means for having our sins forgiven. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in an authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Nasa'i and also by al-Tabarani and other than them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تابعوا بين الحج والعمرة فإنهما ينفيان الفقر والذنوب كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, follow up a Hajj after you have performed the Umrah, or follow up a Umrah with a Hajj. That if you have already performed the Umrah, then perform the Hajj. And if you have performed the Hajj, then make the Umrah. And we know that both the Umrah and the Hajj are both compulsory on the Muslims. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. And I command you to complete the Hajj and the Umrah for the sake of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us to follow a Hajj up with the Umrah, and Umrah up with the Hajj. For those two wipes away poverty and sin, just as a blacksmith's tool, the key, I don't know what it's called in English, that thing when he goes like this to a
bellows.
That this bellows, as it cleans the dirt away from the metal, the same way that the Hajj and the Umrah will clean away poverty and sins. So we shouldn't think that to spend $2,500 to make that Hajj is to lose that bank account, or to lose that money if we had to sell our furniture or whatever we had to do. To make that Hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sell that car or whatever, to make the Hajj for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it will remove his poverty from him, and it will remove the sins from him, just as that blacksmith's bellows will remove away the dirt or the filth from the metal. So let this be a lesson to us, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah described, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْهُ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, that he doesn't speak on his own desires, he speaks from revelation revealed from him. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time when he was asked by Abu Huraira, Ya Rasulullah, I find that you joke with us and you play with us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, I play with you, but nothing comes out of this mouth except the truth. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he tells us, I command you to follow up a Hajj with the Umrah, and an Umrah with a Hajj, because those two things wipes away poverty and wipes away sins, just as that billow wipes away the filth from the Hadith. So we should be as diligent and as eager as we can to make the Hajj and the Umrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those two are a means of wiping away the poverty that faces us, and it's also a way of wiping away our sins. So whoever feels that his pocket is a little light, and he feels that his situation is a little difficult, then he should do his best to make the Hajj and the Umrah for Allah's sake, for this is a way, this is a means for wiping away his poverty. We shouldn't let the shaitan come to us in doubt that how are we going to spend all our money and then the poverty is going to go away. There are people all over the world who sell their houses, their cars, quit their jobs, do whatever they got to do just to make their Hajj for the sake of Allah. If and when I get back home, we'll deal with that. But I'm going to fulfill this obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made upon me, and I know that the text of the Hadith. But the meaning is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever gives up something for Allah's sake, whoever gives up something for Allah's sake, then Allah will replace it with that which is better than it. That whoever gives up something for Allah's sake, then Allah will replace it with something better than it. وَوَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ, and the promise of Allah is the truth. Promise of Allah is the truth. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. We covered that saying Ameen is an atonement for our sins. Making Salatul Jumu'ah, standing up, making Salat at night. Qiyam, the Qiyam of Ramadan, fulfilling our obligations on the month of Ramadan, the Salat of Tasbih, making Salat in Masjid al-Aqsa, killing fi sabilillah, or being killed fi sabilillah, fasting the month of Ramadan, and fasting on the day of Ashura, and fasting on the day of Arafah. We said that Arafah is on the 9th of the Dhul Hijjah, and Ashura is the 10th of Muharram. And we also said that Hajj and Umrah are means of forgiving our sins. We only have 5 more things left in the book, written by Salim al-Hilali, Mukaffarat al-Dhunub, or the things that are an atonement for our sins. So next week, inshallah ta'ala, we will finish off those things. And then I have a few things to add, that during my studies, I came across some things that weren't mentioned in this book, that were mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, that are means of atonement for our sins. So inshallah, next class, we will round up atonement for the sins, and we'd like to begin after that, the etiquette of dua, the times when we make the, when it's good to make the dua, or the time when the dua is most likely to be answered, and also the how-to of making dua. We have a question before we end. The 3 days fast each month, should it be any 3 days, or are they specific? Example, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of each month, white days of the moon. The 3 days mentioned in the hadith that we covered are any 3 days of the month. But there's another hadith that specifies the virtues of fasting on the 13th, 14th, and 15th, or Ayyam al-Bir. But the 3 days that were mentioned in the hadith, they're just any 3 days of the month. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And with that, we end with Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.